Our scripture reading this morning starts in Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The next reading is from 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love.
Glad you're all here and haven't been blown away. I want to start out just by saying thank you once again to everyone. I saw a lot of you throughout the week, and this may be a weird way to start, but I just want to say thanks. Kurt tends to text me throughout the week pictures of random pieces of machinery, which I have no idea what I'm looking at, but then he explains them to me, and I go, wow, that's neat. But no, I seriously thank you for that. I saw Roger and Marion and Kathy at the stock show, which was really neat. Roger yelled at me, believe it or not. It was to get my attention. But no, it was good. I see Brian, I see Alan, I see a lot of you through the week. I saw a lot of people at the Ladies' Day yesterday, and I just say thank you. Might be kind of weird just to say thanks for seeing you, but I love when we think about each other, and I feel almost privileged whenever we think of each of, whenever one of you think of me throughout the week. And that encourages me. And that makes me feel uplifted. It makes me feel like a part of this body, which we have been for a year today. I think it's been a pretty short year. Maybe some of you think it's been a long year, but that's... But no, it's been a wonderful year. I have learned a lot. Hopefully for the better, but I thank you so much for the privilege of being your minister, and more than that, just, I tell people from the moment that we came to this congregation, even for the interview, it just felt like we fit right in, and you don't find that everywhere. I hope you feel the same way, but we feel very much the same way, so I thank you for the privilege of just being able to be a part of this body, but then also the privilege of being your minister. And I thank you so much that for the relationships we have grown over the last year, for how we've gotten to know each other, and I look forward to the continuing of that over this next year and the year after that and the many, many years to come. One thing I've really enjoyed being a part of is LTC too, which I just want to make a note. Today's PowerPoint has been designed and lesson inspired by Sammy Zoller. So, go ahead. Yeah, absolutely. So it's been a year, and I, like I said, I can relate to some of these Bible characters, I think. We've been around quite a bit. It's been years since we've been here, and it's nice to be stable finally somewhere. But our moving around and coming here where we've really enjoyed, I can definitely relate to some characters in the Bible. I think about Abraham of going into a foreign land. Not very foreign. Very, very welcoming. I think about maybe being like Moses, leading my family out of bondage. I mean, Lubbock. Took a slight second, didn't it? The whole reason was for that joke, I'll admit. But no, I think sometimes I feel a little bit like Joshua, too. I think we all sometimes feel a little bit like Joshua. Dealing with fear and uncertainty, having huge tasks ahead of us. Not just leaving Lubbock. I was looking forward to that all morning. I'm sorry, I'm still smiling. There were good people down Lubbock. I don't want to get on too much. But even then, actually, that was actually probably a worse move than this one, because we went from being somewhere in, you know, when the culture and where the landscape was very, very nice into somewhere where it wasn't. And so we showed up and we went, okay, this better be worth it. But in all these situations, in all of these things, and with us, it's been moving for the last few years, about moving, packing up, starting over somewhere new. But I know that for many of you, you've had other things. We've had a few other things as well. There are many, many things in life that we feel fearful about. Now, before I really go on out of this, sometimes I think we get down on ourselves for having fear, for having doubts, for having concerns. And before I get into this lesson, there's nothing wrong. I don't think there's anything wrong at all with realistically acknowledging or trying to deal with problems in life or trying to deal with things that come up. For instance, if you are 6 months overdue on your house mortgage, simply praying to God, God, take care of this, and laying on your sofa waiting for it to happen, it's not very smart. Handing over to God something doesn't mean, here, take it, and then laying around waiting for something to happen. I don't want to put that out there because sometimes I think that as Christians, we shouldn't have concerns. We shouldn't have fear at all. Basically, it comes down to, I think we shouldn't deal with sometimes what we deal with in life. Why am I going through this? Well, I'm feeling doubtful about it. Okay. I think that's okay. Because that's human. And everyone has things where they come to a situation where they go, I don't know about this. I don't know. Where it becomes a problem is when we become stuck, where we become immobilized, where we become so caught up in fear and worrying that we just sometimes either don't do anything or that controls our actions. Jesus in Matthew 6 says, by worrying, will it add an hour to your life? If you go into the word meaning of that, that word for worrying literally means to be divided, distracted. Actually, this is arguably the word to where go to pieces comes from, because that's what it means. You could use it in the same sense of dividing something and breaking something apart, being pulled in different directions. I think it's good to be aware of things. In fact, it is good to be aware of things. God calls us to a standard of being aware of problems in our life. Spiritual problems, financial problems, making sure that we try to harness these things, problems in our minds and our emotions. He wants us to try to have the high standard, but fear to the point of where that's all we can do. Worry to the point of that's all we are consumed with. Fear to the point to where we won't take that next step is what I'm talking about. Fear can be defined in a lot of ways. Obviously, there's the fight or flight thing, which you feel your life's in danger, which hopefully we don't get into very often. But one way that we can define it is false evidence appearing real. False evidence. The worrying about the things. I'll call these the what ifs. All the possible possibilities you go through. Okay, who has ever done this where you literally just stop for a minute and you think about every single thing that could possibly go wrong? You don't have to admit it, Ian, but you know. But thank you for that, because I will admit it too. There have been a lot of times I'll sit there and just go this, and then it comes to the point to where I just go, why am I thinking about this? Because what does it matter? A lot of the stuff that I tend to get caught up with, I don't know if you're similar in this or not, a lot of the stuff that I tend to do the what-ifs about are things that I can't control. Because they're the most scary. Obviously. In Joshua 1, Moses, the spiritual leader, until that point, of spiritual leaders, has died. Imagine, you're on a plane, not an airplane, but a plane in Israel, or what would become Israel. Around you, over 600,000 people that are now looking at you for guidance. You know that it's your task to lead these people. It's your task to lead these people into a land which become their own. And you know that God has said this is what you should do. But as you stand there, when the wind howling at your face, the eyes of all the people following you boring into the small of your back, and you think, I'm scared. You see, the thing is about Joshua 1:9, when Joshua is told, be strong and courageous and don't be afraid. The thing is, for God to say that to Joshua probably means there was a reason for it. It's safe to say, I think Joshua was probably a bit fearful or afraid or worried. And as I said, who can blame him? I remember when I first got into the Air Force, laying in bed the night before my first combat mission. Now, what I did was actually relatively safe. I mean, we're flying at 500 miles an hour, but whatever. But I remember laying in bed, having no idea what would happen, having going through it for the first time, knowing that I was going into a dangerous situation. There's some apprehensiveness. There's some apprehensiveness just with making a financial decision, making a family decision. It's easy to go, what if, what if, what if, what if? And to an extent, we should, I think. As I said, we should try to think about all the things that might come up, all the potential problems, all the things that we might have to deal with. But the what ifs that we can't control, the what ifs that paralyze us, the what ifs that just do us no good except take up brain power and keep us up at night. There's three reasons they don't get us anywhere. One, our mind can create a lot of false evidence. A lot of false evidence. Two, thinking about it doesn't translate into action, what's the point? It usually does the opposite. Thinking about these what ifs makes us not want to do anything. And three, we're focusing on the wrong thing, especially as Christians. What I mean by that is, what if, whenever we were apprehensive about all the things that were out of our control, what if, when we thought about all these things that could happen that we can't influence ourselves, what if we turn fear around on itself? What if, instead of asking what if, we started thinking about who God is? Fear is placing your faith in the what ifs rather than the God is. If I were Joshua, and I was standing there before this huge feat before me, having just been told, be strong and courageous and do not be afraid, that alone is fine. But what does he say next? God says, for I am with you. God is with me, thought Joshua. What else is God? God is trustworthy. He says something and you can believe it. God is powerful. If He created the heavens and the earth and indeed yourself, why do we keep thinking He can't handle whatever it is that goes on? I know it's easy to think up here, but do we really believe it in here? God is just. Romans 8:28, one of my favorite verses of all time, says, and we know that He will work out all things for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. I have to remind myself that doesn't always mean something good that I want, but it's God's good, which is good enough for me. God is love. What Paul read in 1 John 4. God is love. John is a wonderful, amazing book, and I wish that I could write like him. But he says in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever has fear has not been perfected in love. God is love, and in Him there is no darkness. Let me ask you this question. And this might be different from here and from here. When isn't God with us? When are we out of His care? When are we out of His circle of influence? When are we out of His protection? When are we out of His justice? When are we away from His love? When are we outside of His mercy? When are we not God's? For those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose, the purpose of being saved, of being transformed the image of his son and walking in the light as he is in the light, I think we know the answer. The answer is the question makes no sense because he's God. Perhaps you've heard of the story of a man who had a dream that he was walking on a beach with the Lord. And as he dreamed, across the sky flashed scenes from his life. And each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to him and the other to God. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand, very curious about something. He noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it always happened to be at the saddest and very lowest times in his life. This really bothered him. And he questioned God about it. He said, "Lord, you said that if I decided to follow you, you would walk with me all the way. That you'd be with me. That you would guide me. That you would love me. But I look back at the worst times of my life and I see there's only one set of footprints. How could you leave me when I needed you the most?" And God said, "My son, during the times of suffering and trial, when you are at your lowest and you see only one set of footprints, you know the story, was when I was carrying you." Was Jesus afraid? Ever? Was Jesus ever apprehensive? Was Jesus ever doubtful of what was going on? I think we have to say yes, because you don't get to where you're sweating drops of blood just by a little voice in your ear going, "Maybe, maybe not." You are feeling it. You are thinking it. You are being consumed by it. But in the garden, when Jesus is kneeling and pleading for God, "If there's any other way, if there's any other way, if there's any way to let this cup pass from me, let it be so. But not my will, but thy will be done." In essence, Jesus said, even Jesus had to remind himself and say out loud in the midst of trial, "Your will," because God is God. God is good. God is just. God loves me and leads me. And if I follow him, God is God. Well, one might say, well, what if what I'm going through is not something talked about in the Bible? What if I can't find anything that talks about my exact situation? How do I deal with that? And the answer, I think, goes back to principle. What is the principle of fear? What is the principle of what we're going through? What is the same in everything? Something happens that makes us apprehensive. A false evidence makes us untrusting of this God which we claim to trust in. And if that's the essence of all fear, I don't want to be preachery at you, but if God says it once, it's good. Do not fear if you happen to be taking an army into Jericho for my purpose. And also, do not fear if your bank account looks a little low. Don't fear if an army is marching at you. Also, don't fear if someone asks you a question about the Bible you don't know. Don't fear whenever you're being cast into a lion's den. And don't fear if, even though you're working and working and working, you just can't get ahead in life. Be strong and courageous and do not be afraid. For I, the Lord, am with you. I invite you this morning, if you're going to get one thing out of this sermon, I invite you to this. Don't place your faith in fear. Don't place your faith. Don't let the false evidence of what's out there get anywhere near your faith. But instead, place your faith in God is. God is there, and we will hear your prayers. God is wanting you to trust him so he can carry you through times of sorrow and trouble. God is working for our good. And we know this because God is the one who by Jesus forgives us of our sins by him dying on the cross. And God is the one who says that if you have been baptized into Christ's death with the same spirit that made Christ rise from the dead, so he raised you to newness of life. God is the same one who says, you are my child, and I am your father. God is who God is. And that is awesome. Not the surfer dude awesome. The standing before your creator awesome. With Mitchell right now, he is in a big why phase. Those of you who are parents all smiled. I saw at the same time. Because we know what this is like. Don't put your finger into the electrical socket. It will hurt you. Why? It will hurt you. Why? The thing is, though, what I've noticed about him is that he may question me every now and then. But in certain things he's learning, he already has such trust in me and Amy. He doesn't know why. He doesn't have any idea most of the time. Sometimes we try to explain, sometimes we don't. But in the end, he trusts. And he remembers. And I see that, and I think to myself, in God's eyes, I'm probably less mature than what I see my son being. I indulge the whys. I try to explain when I think it's necessary with Mitchell. But in the end, I need his trust. As does God of us. I think it's okay to ask why. I think it's okay to search for answers. I think it's okay to wonder what is going on. But in the end, fear cannot compete with God is. Period. In the end, this is why we have places like this. And not places like this. I'm talking places to where we, God's people, are. That we come and we celebrate who God is and what God has done in our life and who we are now because of God. This is why we have a place, a community, a group of believers that come to be encouraged. Whenever we are in the dumps, whenever we're being carried by God, even if we don't know it, we can say, this is where I am. And people go, I'm with you. Let me encourage you. Let me love you. Let me pray for you. What do you need? This, in fear, is where the church can shine, not just a light into the darkness, but a light, a brighter light into an already gleaming one. Together, we believe and we act and we read and we study and we see the power of God is through his church. We see the power of God is through his word, and we see the power of God through himself. Through his promises, through Joshua, through Moses, through Noah. And if you don't think, well, I can never be like that, I present to you his bride who can show it as well. God is hard to remember sometimes. God is sometimes feeling like he's far away. Yes, sometimes. But I invite you from this lesson, remember Joshua, remember Jesus in the garden, and not just, oh, those are good Bible stories, but remember what got them through is that they remembered who God is, and they remembered that he is with you and with us and will carry us even through the deepest, darkest times. What if... No. I don't know a lot of things about what's going on. But I do know this one thing. God is. Praise God. Let's stand and sing.